We continue our reading from the prophecy of the New Covenant. On the 19th day following the Sunday sunrise at the sanctuary in the desert, the man spent the night in vigil and prayer, remembering the 20th year of the passing of Jamil, the child of God. His thoughts went back in time, and he recalled episodes of the child's life, his many gifts and signs. He was suddenly struck by the memory of the stately figures that had appeared prior to the child's birth into the world, and their undeniably royal and dignified personages. Then a vision of the three magi who had visited the infant Jesus flashed before his eyes. In his mind's eye, he saw the three forms as clearly as if they had appeared again. And the implication of this vision brought forth tears to his eyes. The next morning, at first light, the community gathered at the sanctuary to receive the rays of the rising sun. Standing in a grove of green juniper trees, the man awaited the sun in the pre-dawn amethystine light that illuminated the sandy desert. His thoughts were on the ministry he would send out into the world to give news of God's second advent. Over the years, many had come to him for instruction, but the majority had abandoned him to go their own way. Only a handful remained. With these first disciples, he would build the Second Advent Church and establish the Jamilian Order that would reach out to the Christian churches, to all the world religions, and to all the peoples with the message of hope and salvation in God's appearance in the heavens. And he thought about the means necessary to build the church in a modern world dominated by materialism, apostasy, and religious indifference. A world in which the races were so divided on social and religious levels that no unified effort under God's influence, regardless of its divine authority, could ever hope to unify people into a living organism of light. Regarding this issue, he allowed his practical sense, reason, and logic to take hold of his being. As a man of the world devoted to God, he was experienced with people on all levels of human activity and was only too aware of the problems derived from secular and religious centers of influence who assumed authority over the races in matters of social and religious activities. He was not uncertain of his devotion. He was, however, troubled about the proper means to use to build the church. Awaiting the sun, he stood within the folds of the divine presence that preceded its appearance. And he presented his problems to the force manifest, asking for guidance. And his soul registered those impressions inspired by the aura that enraptured his being. He stood transported to another world, and God's word did speak to his spirit, enlightening him on the proper means to build the church in the world. The sun, like burnished gold, came up over a high peak to the east, splashing a mellow light over the congregation of disciples that stood on the hillsides. And when the first rays touched the man, he felt the presence of the child standing on his right. And he was overjoyed at being able to look at Jamil's appearance. But when he took his eyes away from the sun to gaze upon the vision, he saw nothing. As he returned his sight to the sun, he could discern from the corner of his eye the reappearing form of Jamil. Once more, he looked at the sun, and he was enraptured by God's word, impressing his spirit on the means to build the church, and he recorded the impressions that would be included in the canon and the liturgy of the church. And we will now have the blessings.